Hello, everybody. I wanted to give a quick content warning at the beginning of this episode. Midway through, maybe a little past midway through this episode, I recite the lyrics to a song that are pretty raunchy. I know I label all my episodes as explicit, but I still wanted to put a content warning just in case anyway. So with that said, on with the episode. On this episode of Still Loading...
It couldn't possibly be as adorable as yours truly.
Who cares, Akis? I'm the one her Heinekes makes video chip cookies for.
And I'm the one she reads mega bedtime stories to.
I'm her favorite.
Oh, are you or not? She likes the best stories.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I am your host, Josh Koval, and today on the show, it is Season 2 of Captain N. We are kicking off Season 2 with a bang, a game bang? That was a bad pun. We're not going to go with that. But we're going to be talking about the first episode of Season 2 of Captain N. It is just called Game Boy. It came out on September 8th, 1990. It was written by Dorothy Middleton. So long, Jeffrey Scott. We wanted you on the show, but you missed your chance. We still love you. We'd still love to have you on the show, Jeffrey. Please come on the show. We love you. But we have a new writer. We've cheated on you with a new writer. Her name's Dorothy Middleton, and we're not going to really get to know her long because there's two writers in the next episode, and neither of them are her. So we're going to see how that works out. But this first episode is called Game Boy. And before we dive into the episode, of course, my co-host with the mo-host, Dexter. Dexter, how are you doing today?
I'm here. Hey, everybody.
You, Dexter, have been looking forward to this episode for quite some time. Am I right?
I have. This is the episode that is the freshest in my brain because I actually own the VHS copy of this episode back when you could sell one episode of a thing for like $20 or whatever, you know. I'm sure I got it in like a $5 bin, but still, like, that's one episode. You get like one episode on what, like iTunes and stuff for like 99 cents.
Mm-hmm. So, but we closed out season one with a big guest, and we're beginning season two with a big guest, Eric from the Let's Get YouTube channel. Eric, how are you doing today?
I'm hungover. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing much better than that. I was saying off mic, my daughter won't poop, but I'm sure the audience would love to hear all about the bowel movements of an infant. You know, that's.
I'm actually sure that's looking great forward content. To the hungover perspective of Captain N.
Yep. Hungover cast, Captain N style. So let's dive into this. What was the first thing that you all what's one of the biggest things you all noticed from this episode? Dex, we'll start with you and then we'll move over to Eric and we'll end with me. So Dex, what's one thing that you like really stuck out to you from this episode?
I think it's like the perspective of being a kid and watching this show and then being an adult and watching this show was very, very obvious this particular episode because it's clearly been super commercialized with Game Boy coming in. But as a kid, I was like, oh, Game Boy, yes, you know, like, of course, give me more of that. Now as an adult, I'm like, why have we've jumped the shark? We've added Game Boy and now like we're 13, 14 episodes in and we've jumped the shark. Mm-hmm. We've jumped the Game Boy.
I mean, to be fair, I feel like they jumped the shark in the first episode. I mean, there's not much going on. This show jumps the shark pretty fast. Eric, what about you? What stuck out about this episode to you?
Just that Game Boy's a jerk and somehow they just come together like, yeah, we got to save him. Like, why? He's been a jerk from the beginning. Just leave him. You know, he gets abducted. All right, whatever.
I mean, you had to stop him because he's supposedly the most powerful computer in video land, but it doesn't mean you have to like him. Like, he was an asshole. Like, I don't understand that. I don't get that. For me, and we're going to meet for me, it actually perfectly leads into the beginning of this episode. So I'm going to save mine for when we get to it. It's early on in the episode, like super early on within like the first 2 minutes. The episode begins with Lana trying to rescue her father, which, by the way, Dex, did you know her dad was named Charles?
I was going to say that. I was going to read the back of the
It's the first VHS time they've named it. She just calls him father in the entirety of the first season. Yeah, never gives him a first name. King. He's just the king or father. No yeah. idea his name was Charles. That was
Did you also notice the new intro?
Yes. Yes. It has a new intro. I don't like it as much.
No, they shortened it considerably. They removed the map of Videoland where they, and like introducing all the different worlds, they show Megaland and Mount Icarus and
Congoland, as Kevin says.
They take all that out and they start with a narration from Lana talking about that the king is gone. And that
the story that they never paid attention to in the first season. Now it's like, this is the intro of the second season.
Yeah. And then she's like, I was skeptical when I first met Kevin. I was like, I saw the first episode. I don't think you were skeptical. I think it was everyone else that was skeptical. You lied to me. You are a lying narrator.
They added They added Game Boy also to the intro of the show. Like, cause obviously he's totally going to be a recurring character for the rest of the season. But Lana is trying to rescue King Charles with an interdimensional warp that opens up every 1,000 video years. What's a video year? Anybody have an answer for this?
I have no idea.
I'm guessing it goes by the seconds, because aren't the seconds different in the original Mario, Super Mario Brothers? Like, those are different lengths.
I don't know.
So maybe that's actually a video second.
And speaking of seconds, though, if you notice the wide shot of there's a countdown of like how long the interdimensional warp opens, it stays open for, or when it opens. On the wide shot, it shows 12 minutes. When it's zoomed in, it's down to 4 minutes. And later on, in a different wide shot, moments later, it's 22 minutes. There's no continuity at all.
That's a video year. We just witnessed a video year.
It's all over the place.
It's clearly just 2020 through 2021. It's the 2 years that no one will ever remember. We just lost it. But this leads me to the thing that stuck out to me in this episode. It's a big continuity error, and it's not the continuity error I just mentioned with the time issues. It's Mega Man. Mega Man, the end of season one, Eric, because I don't expect you to watch the show or torture yourself with it. The end of season one, the whole premise of the finale is that Mega Man wants to be human. He hates being a robot, and he wants to be human. And spoiler alert, at the end of the episode, he becomes human. The first thing he does in this episode is get a key that comes out of his fingertip like a robot, and he inserts it into a machine and twists it.
Like a real boy.
What? Yeah, like
a real boy. Like a real key.
I was so mad at this. Not really, but yeah, I was a little upset that they broke like the whole. That was a big arc for Mega Man in that last episode. And they
that goes back to our conversation in that episode that we think that they changed the ending last minute. I don't think that he was ever supposed to become a real boy at the end.
No.
And that for some reason they got executive notes that were like, this episode would be pointless if they go all this way and he doesn't become a real boy. Make him a real boy. And then they just ignored that after the fact, I guess.
I don't want to rehash that episode because we just did it, but man, they really dropped the ball with it. Now, apparently, though, with season two, this was aired in an hour long block, and it shared an episode, or the other half of the hour was with Super Mario Brothers 3. So, Dexter, maybe we should start up a Super Mario 3 rewatch.
Nice.
I think you're right. I think we'll have to do that
just to torture ourselves with it.
Or The Legend of Zelda. I'm willing to do that as well.
Then Princess Lana's father, he's able to like buzz in somehow. They call in on whatever that video phone is, and Lana's so excited to see him, and he's just like, "I'm sending you Game Boy. I don't care. I'm not coming through the war.
Deal with this guy. He's
fine." I think he can be the savior of the realm. And I like how it cuts over to Kevin. It cuts over to Kevin, where he. it's like, oh, well, I thought I was the savior of the realm or something like that. Like, it's very clear, like, they're trying to pit those two against each other, and they never really do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the king's even like, he's like a son to me, talking about Game Boy, which didn't make any sense by the end of the episode either. But
yeah, and what did she say? Something that she's just like, oh, I think it'd be, you know, I guess my dad's not coming back, but at least I could have like a little brother. And then like, for whatever reason, Kevin's like, what? And falls out of his chair. Like, she just suggested, let's have a kid together or something like that. Instead, it's just like, oh, I'm going to have, you know, Game Boy's going to be my little brother. That's it.
She adjusts remarkably well to the fact that her father, that she's lost for the last like 2 years, 6 months, whatever it is still not coming back. And she's like, oh, well, I have a brother now, a little brother, so it's fine. There, I don't know who says it. I think it's Simon who says it to Princess Lana. He says, cheer up your sadness.
Yeah.
Dorothy, Middleton. What?
Like, instead of highness, your sadness.
Your sadness, yeah.
Not a good joke. Not a good joke.
So many not a good jokes. Just so many not great puns, but, you know.
No.
They're charming in that way, I guess.
Well, I rewatched the first episode. I rewatched the episode again this morning with my daughter. Actually, I subjected my daughter to this. And one thing I noticed that I didn't notice when I was watching it the first time is that King Hippo punches himself in the face. Yeah. He goes, at your service, my main brain, and goes to salute. And I'm not going to lie, the sound, like, that was actually legit funny. The sound effect was perfect. The animation was pretty good. Though, do you guys think the animation was rough in this episode? Like, Dexter, especially since you've seen all the last season, does it seem like worse than the first season?
There definitely felt like there was a lot more happening, if that makes sense, a lot more to animate.
Mm-hmm.
But there were small moments that were really well done, where they clearly were given to someone that was like, here, animate these 5 seconds. Here, animate these 2 seconds. There were some moments that looked really good. But yeah, on the whole, it was a little rough.
Does not look great. And now we get to, so she acknowledges she's going to have a baby brother. She gets really excited. She's going to prep his room. And when did all the heroes of Videoland become super whiny? Because all of a sudden, all of them, with the exception of Kevin, who realistically would be the one that it seemed like they were trying to pit them against each other, but they never really do. They all start getting really like whiny about it. Like, Simon's depressed because now it's someone distracting the princess's attention away from him again. Hmm. Kid Icarus, did you catch what Kid Icarus said?
I don't remember.
She makes video chip cookies with me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Mega Man goes, she reads mega bedtime stories to me.
Which, I mean, he talks, and then that's just real bad. Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, I didn't see the last episode. I guess what are the attributes of a real boy? But I mean, he's still just the worst voice ever.
Yeah.
The only thing that it really seems in that last episode that really makes him a real boy is that he has a beating heart now. That's it.
Oh,
that's it. It doesn't talk about making his metal body flesh or anything like that. He just has a heart. He has a human heart.
I mentioned last time as well, like, because he's like, I don't like celebrating my birthday. It reminds me I'm a robot. And I was like, not your terrible voice. Your voice every day doesn't remind you.
I remember this. Like, did you listen to Sharky Retronauts back in the day?
I still listen to Retronauts. I haven't listened to their. I never got to listen to their pre-independent run. When they were on 1UP, I never got to listen to those though.
Yeah, it was like Sharky made a comment about that. He's like, he said he sounds like a smoker. He's like, get equipped with emphysema or something like that. It killed me. Every time his voice, that's like all I can think of. It's just like, why did they make that decision, you know?
It's the same thing with Kid Icarus, with why did they add him to say Icus on everything? And
if you say get equipped
with emphysema, that sounds almost like Kid Icarus plus Mega Man combined into this like Kamega Man.
I think about this show way more than I really should. And the only answer I could come up with is that because he looks like a boy, and since he's Mega Man, That was like the compromise between an argument I'm between creators.
Oh, sorry. I'm Mega Boy. Yeah. It's not such an awful. I'm not a real boy. Like, what? I mean, like, what? Never mind. I was about to make. I was going to say what part of him would grow if he was like Pinocchio, but then I did not intend to go down a direction. My actual joke was like, would his metal nose grow? Would his metal hands grow? But, you know, if I just say what part of him grows, everyone's mind's going to go to the same place.
His buster, it's all in the gutter. Gun.
His
buster gun. Yeah. His foot, clearly.
Yeah, his finger with the key.
So then they go to rescue Game Boy from this. He keeps saying space capsule, but then they say it's a satellite. So I thought that was kind of weird that they just switched it up there. But it's a satellite. And Mother Brain decides that, okay, I'm going to send King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard to go, you know, beat them to the punch, get Game Boy, so that way I can program him for evil. And that's where King Hippo punches himself in the face. It's hilarious. Go watch it.
That was good.
Yes,
it was a good Mother punch. Brain.
You got it, my main brain.
Main brain. Yeah.
That seems to be like the running joke they've been going for a while now, since like the last, like, I would say midway through season one, they started having King Hippo call Mother Brain my main brain or something, like just brain puns, which is better than Kevin. At least they give him somewhat of a catchphrase. In the first couple episodes of the show, Eric, they do. Kevin's big thing is he goes, he's like, something will happen. And he'll go, what a concept. And that was like his catchphrase for a little bit. Like,
what?
That's all it was. He's like, this doesn't happen in the episode, but let's say he jet ski or he water skis, but instead of skis, it's like he uses, tree branches or something like that. Instead of like actual water skis, like tree branch water skis. What a concept. It would be something like that. And they really tried to make that stick for about four episodes, and then you'd never see it again.
Like, they don't, that does not test well. Just throw an excuse me, princess, in there. That'll kill.
That's pretty much it.
The kids will love it.
What's weird too, man, is that, so Jeffrey Scott wrote the entirety of the first season. He also is the creator of Muppet Babies. Which is just crazy to think about. But okay, so Simon and Kevin they're going to rescue Game Boy. King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are going to capture Game Boy. I was confused how Kevin and Simon are breathing in space, because at least King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard have like a little dome, on their little spacecraft. They're just riding like a land speeder through space with just nothing. I understand it's a cartoon, but I do think it's kind of weird. Like, I feel like it's that's
video
something
space.
It's video
space. That's what it is. Like the video years, you don't know what to think in video world or land.
How many video years is that?
Like light years, video years, something. I don't know.
Do you go? He's going faster than the speed of video.
What a concept.
So they go after them, and Eggplant Wizard starts, like, you know, King Hippo says, you know, attack them, and Eggplant Wizard goes, with veggie pleasure.
Yeah. As if there's any other kind. I mean,
I'm gonna start using that every time I have for dinner. Every time we eat vegetables for dinner, like, hon, do you want, my wife will be like, hon, do you want green beans for dinner? Like, with veggie pleasure. And then I'll get a divorce.
Yeah. She's like, I'm leaving you.
Exactly. Just immediate response.
So they start shooting, Eggplant Wizard starts shooting carrots. It's corn, but it looks like carrots. It's like, it's like orange corn. It's very weird. And then they
shucked corn. Yeah.
They pull back because apparently that's too much. They can't handle the corn. And they go back around the other side of the ship, and they start pulling a Beverly Hills Cop and trying to stuff their exhaust pipe with corn. And it's the most ridiculous visual, because it's just a pile of corn just sitting on this metal slab in space. And in the shot where you see it gradually fill up, it looks like it's covering a large area. And then when it cuts back, when it's not like the zoomed in shot of it, the pile looks like it's maybe covering like a small speck on the floor of this exhaust pipe. But then they go to turn the heat, makes the popcorn pop, of course, because logic, of course that corn was popcorn.
Corn becomes popcorn.
and it fills up their, even though it probably would have just shot out backwards, of course it fills up their whole spacecraft, and then they don't get to kidnap a Game Boy, at least not yet. So they do rescue Game Boy, and I believe the voice of Game Boy is Frank Welker, right?
Yes. Slimer himself.
Frankie. Yes.
Oh, wow.
I did not like the voice of Game Boy. What did you guys think? Mm-mm.
It was right up there with our buddy Mega Man.
Right?
No. Yeah.
And I feel like they always give Frank Welker the tag-along character, because he did Slimer. He does Game Boy. He's now Scooby-Doo, and he was Jabberjaw. And so he's used to being the character that, you know, hangs out with the normal people.
Now I'm curious. I'm pretty sure.
So the voice of Dr. He was the Pegasus in Dungeons and Dragons, because our last guest said that when he asked him if he could still do that voice, he was like, yeah. And he just like whipped out the Pegasus from Dungeons and Dragons.
That's so nuts. Man, Gabe is just like, he's a fount of animation history knowledge. Like, he just, you name a show and he'll probably have at least known something about it or worked with someone with it. So Game Boy, voiced by Frank Welker. I really don't like Game Boy's voice. No offense to Frank Welker. He's an iconic voice actor.
He's doing the stereotypical, like, I am a robot, but right. like a childish voice for our listeners that haven't seen the episode yet. So
it's a boy.
He's a boy.
He's the real boy.
Yeah.
Sort of. But they put batteries in Game Boy, and Game Boy clearly likes to play games.
Where are they giant AA batteries, or is it like thousands of little AA batteries? That was the first thing I wondered. When
it seemed like two giant AA batteries, though. I would have loved them to just like pour a bucket, like a tub of like AAA batteries or AA batteries into his back, and be like, I hope these fit together.
Then like a real Game Boy. Yeah.
I was gonna say, that's bad marketing, kids. You're just gonna go through so many batteries with this thing. Parents are like, I'm not buying you that.
I mean, this is no Game Gear.
Yeah, that's true.
Burn through batteries. I wrote down on my note, though, like, why the AF is Game Boy such a bizarrely bad person? Like, why is he just, it's so strange that it's one thing. I think they were trying to go with the vibe of he's mischievous, and they don't nail that. At all. He just seems like he's an asshole.
I honestly think this is a Deke cartoon, just like the real Ghostbusters. I really think that they were like, let's add a Slimer character. Like, he works for the Ghostbusters but it works for Ghostbusters because they are busting ghosts. So of course he's mischievous ghosts, you know. But when you translate that to Game Boy, like, what? Like, it doesn't quite make sense in the logic of the show.
But it really doesn't. And the fact that I think what's strange is that he's just evil to other people. Like, he chases Kid Icarus with a fighter jet.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we all were kind of hoping he would succeed, though, with all the Icarus and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Now, we get to the scene, though, so that they chase after Game Boy. I keep wanting to say Mega Boy. They chase after Game Boy, and he's being all mischievous, and he jumps into Burger Time. He jumps into another warp zone, and it happens to be Burger Time. Now, Dexter, I think this should be the thumbnail for this episode, where Simon has egg on his face, and he's just an egg. Not an awful joke, admittedly, but then there's Pickle Mega Man, and then Kevin is a hot dog. And I kind of love those designs. They're just insane. And, you know, Simon says, I've got an egg on my face. And then Kevin goes, he almost captures Game Boy. But then Game Boy gets a one up on him by putting pepper on him. And Kevin goes, I haven't played this game in a while. I forgot about the pepper.
The only mechanic. That's how you freeze the bad guys. But the thing that's funny about that is, like, that's like your only move in that game. So, like, how could you forget that?
How could you forget about the pepper?
That's like playing Mario and be like, I forgot you could jump.
That's actually impressive then, because that's one of the few times they've incorporated the gameplay mechanics in the show in an actually interesting way.
Yeah, I was going to say that this, and maybe that's why I remember Captain N being so amazing as a kid, because this was the one I saw the most, and they actually got Burger Time right for the most part. Like, and I just figured, like, they're all like this. They definitely don't give Dracula a mullet, you know, and a yellow zoot suit.
they definitely don't make everyone on Mount Icarus speak with the same speech impediment that Kid Icarus does. No.
Oh, gosh.
Why would they do that?
Why? Yeah. And then Simon has a great quote after Kevin gets Pepper on him, and he goes, "Stand back. This calls for some whippersnapping."
Yeah. Never heard it used that way, but all right. I know what you're doing there.
I kind of love that. Like, you're going to discipline a kid. You don't say, "I'm going to, like, you know, I'm going to put them in timeout, or they're grounded, or they're going to get a spanking." No, it's
time for some whippersnapping.
Let's take something that's kind of an endearing term for children and turn it into something that's vaguely it's veiled violence against them, towards them.
Yes, I did
insinuated violence
during this segment also, that I think I want a ketchup squirter that looks like a zapper now after Kevin. My zapper doesn't work here, and it just shoots ketchup. I was like, okay, I kind of want that now.
The physics of this world is just something to behold. There is an episode, it's just another callback to another one. We did an episode with Stefan Rees from Art of Nintendo Power, and we spent we referenced this literally last week with Gabe too, but we spent like conservatively 15 minutes talking about the plumbing of Videoland, because there was like a snake toilet. We're just confused with where. This is the second episode in a row we've referenced it, but I don't care. I love that snake toilet bit. So we move on, and they take Game Boy's batteries away, and Game Boy is supposedly the most advanced computer in Videoland, according to Dr. Wily.
This point, I would like to point out that you said this came out September of 1990?
Yes. I'll look it up again real quick. Yes, September 8th, 1990.
This is around when Game Boy came out in the U.S. as well. So that's why everyone's talking about how it's this amazing computer. Game Boy is so amazing. Wow, Game Boy is unstoppable. So I'm sure that they probably got a note from Nintendo. Hey, are you guys still doing that cartoon? Could you throw in a couple things about Game Boy? And they're like, let's make them slimy.
I mean, maybe Game Boy was getting, because it had been out for a year at the time this episode was released.
Well, that was in Japan.
No, North America, July 31st.
What?
Of 89.
What? I got my notes wrong. Apologies.
To be fair, I am getting that off of Wikipedia, so take that for what it's worth. That's just a easy, quick reference for.
And release dates back then are pretty hazy too, but
it's interesting. I'm always surprised when there's an exact date for old video games, because a lot of times it was like, it was March of one of these 2 years.
Yeah,
it was when you came in at KB Toys. Yeah,
pretty
much.
It
was cold, so that's about all I got for you. Standing in line, it was cold.
I would love to see that note on like a release date for Wikipedia, where it's like a description of when they got it, but not in anything in regards to
it. It was a dark and stormy night.
It was the summer of 69. This was the first episode, by the way, that we've covered where they don't have licensed music. It's not the first episode that didn't have licensed music, but from here on out, like, after season one, there's no more licensed music in the Captain N episodes, which kind of bums me out, because I missed that really bad generic filler music that we heard 2 to 3 times an episode. It wasn't even that awful, but I did notice like the music in this episode in season one, the music was a lot more, they definitely used music from the games themselves. Like, you would hear like bits of Metroid music, you'd hear bits of like Kid Icarus music. And this one, it feels video gamey, but there's not really any callbacks to any of the games, at least not musically speaking.
They kind of feel like songs that would be in the games, but they definitely are derivative and not the actual stuff.
Yeah, there was the start music from Simon's Quest playing mm-hmm. in there. So, I mean, that's probably like something they do throughout, but I really like that rendition.
Yeah.
It's one of the few things that this show does really well is the music. The music's actually not awful in all of it.
I made a note of that for this episode specifically. I was like, music's really good in this one.
I was pleasantly surprised. A lot of times it's either forgettable or like they just use licensed music, which, by the way, Eric, you'd be surprised what they got here. So they've used some of the licensed music in here. They've used Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins twice. They used Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins. Shakedown by Bob Seger. I Feel Good or I Got You by James Brown. Michael Jackson's Thriller. Born on the Bayou from Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Wow. I remember Wedding, Billy Idol White Wedding they played.
Yes, yeah. Yes. That was one. You must have watched it when it was out then, because it's impossible to find versions with the licensed music anymore. Like even on DVDs, you don't get the licensed music at all.
I
can
see that. Thriller and stuff. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, imagine how much money that is. They have Stevie Wonder as well. Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder? White Wedding by Billy Idol. Yep. And the Bonanza theme song from the TV show Bonanza. That's
and we'll have to one day we'll find a way to get Jeffrey Scott on the show, the original writer, but I still think that he writes in what songs he wants, where, especially since he did Muppet Babies and that was like chock full of references.
I did reach out to Jeffrey, I did reach out to him. He just turned me down, so I'm not surprised, but it was worth a shot. It was worth trying to get him on the show. So they moving on with the story, they turn off Game Boy's battery. They get rid of Game Boy's batteries. And as he shuts down, he's like, defective unit. And it's like now he realizes he was being an asshole. And I'm kind of, what? It took you that long? You just try to shoot somebody with a fighter jet. But okay, buddy. So they kind of walk away trying to figure out what they want to do with it. Duke the dog stays with Game Boy because it seems like they're trying to develop a kinship between the two of them. And they send back Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo to get Game Boy, and Duke is guarding him, and Eggplant Wizard goes, I'm going to send my dandelion after him. And it literally is just a pun of a lion, a dandy lion.
Which is not a vegetable, by the way.
That's true. You're right. That's true. Good point. Just any plants now? Come on.
I mean, the dandelion. Yeah. He throws tomatoes, and technically that's a fruit. So he's not always just vegetables.
The thing that I actually impressed me the most in the writing of this episode was Dr. Wily is going to take, you know, the plan is to take Game Boy and convert him into, you know, a minion of Mother Brain. And he says he'll be her brain child. And I was like, that is such an awesome name for Mother Brain's evil version of Game Boy, Brain Child. And then that they just used it for that one joke. And I was like, no, like that was such a good idea. Why did they stick?
They call him Game Brain. That was
Game Brain.
Just to put in perspective, like the first half of this episode, I took 2 pages of notes. And then the last half, I have less than a page, because the first half just made me laugh so hard between Mega Man not being a real boy anymore. He's back to being a robot, or always was a robot, apparently. The whole cheer up your sadness thing, the video chip cookies, like... Yeah. Oh, Dexter, if we do another Captain N-a-thon, we got to have video chip cookies. I don't know what that means. let's find a recipe.
It's going to be hard with the chip shortage going on right now.
We got to find some way to put static in these.
We'll do our best.
just make it like white and black, like sprinkle like white and black sprinkles on to make it look like static, like TV static.
Every time you try to take a bite,
and then you open your mouth and it's like Pop Rocks. You just hear
nice. I'd eat that cookie.
Right? That'd be kind of awesome, actually.
That's what you do. You just get Pop Rocks and then you got it.
Yeah.
Just stuff Pop Rocks inside a cookie.
I wonder if they'd still pop after that, like after you cook it and everything.
That's a good question.
What are you making in that oven? We're just making some cookies.
Our daughter's trying to sleep. What are you doing? The oven's about to take off.
Making video chip cookies. And then chips in there.
Mega up. Bedtime stories as well. We end the stream with a mega bedtime story or whatever.
What is it? It's just like War and Peace. It's just like mega. It's like really, really long.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Oh no! Here we go again.
Imagine someone reading a book and there's just someone color commentating like that, like every time. But it's like this really widey, like, oh no, here we go again. Gee willikers, I wasn't expecting that.
What was his catchphrase again? I forgot already.
Oh, it was what a concept.
Yeah. Every 5 minutes.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. What a concept.
Huh? It just started.
They find out that Game Boy was captured by Mother Brain, and they go to Metroid. And the way they find out is that there is a flyer that King Hippo accidentally drops that for some reason Dr. Wily created. So they kind of have an idea that Game Boy is being was captured by Mother Brain and is now over on Metroid. And so they go to rescue him, and Kevin's logic, or Princess Lana's logic, is like, you guys were right. He's, you know, we shouldn't, why would we even bother? He was just such a problem. He's like, we're not doing it because we feel bad. We're doing it because he's Game Boy or whatever. Do you know exactly? Do you remember how he phrases it?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. But you do it for Game Boy because Game Boy's amazing. Go out and get a Game Boy, everyone.
It kind of reminded me of the whole, even though this came out way before these movies, the family from the Fast and Furious movies. Like, everything revolves around family. Family.
Go for Game Boy.
Family. I'm Vin Diesel.
I'm surprised Vin Diesel didn't do anything for this, because didn't he do like a commercial for the Street Shark puppets or whatever?
He did. Oh, wow, yeah, you're right. You
could watch. This is Game Street Boy. Shark, and here's a Game Boy.
Street Family. Game Boy. Family. Or Street Game Boys. So they go to Metroid, and Mother Brain does her evil thing on Game Boy and turns Game Boy into Game Brain. It's now Game Brain, as Dr. Wily kind of says it.
Sounds good.
And they go after the end team, but I thought this didn't make sense to me. They show up in a hologram, and then Game Boy spawns enemies while in a hologram that are real, and then they despawn their hologram. Yeah. It's very, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And this gets to, I think, the biggest what the fuck moment of the entire episode, in my opinion. The Monster Mash spinoff.
Yep. I was going to say, oh, there's music. I was waiting to get to it.
Eric, what are your thoughts on the Monster Mash?
I mean, it's very funny that one of the lyrics says, it's very unique. Or, I'm like, it is not unique. This is literally a ripoff of Monster Mash.
It's the opposite of unique.
I mean, yeah, they lost the license music, but they're basically straight up ripping it off.
I was in so much shock. Sorry, Dexter, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that the funny thing is this has to be like one of the most ripped off songs ever is Monster Mash. I once listened to an entire podcast about all of the ripoffs of Monster Mash. And the funny thing is, like, it all spawned from this person downloaded a bunch of like Monster Mash and like all these different covers and was playing it at a Halloween party. And like everyone got mad, like, turn this off, please.
This is a new song, though. This is not the same song.
It's different. Different. I know it all sounds like the same guy singing, but it's different. I swear.
Have you guys ever listened to Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast?
Oh, no.
So do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know where I'm going with this? So yes. Nick Weiger is a comedian, and he actually is the host, one of the hosts of the video game podcast. How did that get? Now it's called Get Played, but it started off on How Did This Get Played, and it's, you know, the whole riff on like bad video games thing. But he did a character. I'm blanking on the character's name, but his character is that he was the original writer of the Monster Mash in this fictional world. Mm-hmm. And it didn't get picked up because his lyrics were just, people weren't ready for it, and I quote. And his version is called The Monster Fuck. I'm going to see if I can find the lyrics real quick.
All the children plug your ears. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, here we go. Leo Carpathy. That's Leo Carpathy is the character's name. And the lyrics are, I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, his trousers dropped right to the floor. With his bottom bare, he ran to the door. He said, I said, Frankenstein, what's gotten into you? He said, my dick is hard and I need to screw.
Wow.
And then it gets to the Monster Mash chorus. He did the fuck. He did the monster fuck. The monster fuck. It was a graveyard fuck.
I was gonna say, what did they rhyme it with? I was trying to think, like duck, buck, chuck. No, they rhymed fuck with fuck. They nailed it.
And then he goes, he did the fuck. The monster sucked and fucked. He did the fuck. He did the monster fuck. And then it goes on. I'm not going to read the entire thing, but it ends up with, like, you know what? One more verse. All right. From my laboratory, I heard quite the racket. Deep in the castle, the vampires jacked it. The zombies were all fucked in the graveyard grass. Wolfman wolfed down Frankenstein's ass. And I'm not going to read the rest of it. There is two more verses. There's two more verses. And what's funny is Nick Weiger comes on the show comes on Comedy Bang Bang every year as Leo Carpathy. He's like, I've written a new version of the song. I swear to you, it's not the same thing. I've written a new song. It is not the Monster Mash. And then he'll just change one lyric, and it's usually like monster, it's the he did the monster fuck part two, and then that's it. I wow. might put a content warning before I I'm gonna like when I edit this in just a little bit, like, excuse me, listen,
that's gonna make, a little bit that's gonna make people more enticed to listen to this episode.
And the much more tame lyric that they use in the show is do the freak. Did you hear what is that? Yes. What they said.
The freak? Yeah.
What? Yeah. That's not, I mean, that's not good.
It's not far from the song you just sang us.
Yeah, so. Right.
No, it's really not. And I will have you know, I did not sing that. I recited it eloquently.
Yeah.
So the end team all ends up getting captured in some way, shape, or form, and you know, they think that you think they're about to lose and, you know, they can't win. And Duke decides for some reason he's the only one that's not attacked and just runs in and tears out all the different wires from Game Boy. And that causes him to short circuit and explode. And am I missing anything? I feel like I just rushed through the last half of this episode. Is there stuff that you guys want to talk about before we kind of wrap up the episode? Because there's not much more to it.
I was going to say that, before they split up, before doing the freak,
Kevin was like, "Monster fuck, Dexter, get it right."
Kevin was like, "Here, Lana, take my zapper. You might need it when they split up." And I was like, "That should be always like she should always have the zapper. He's got the controller on his belt buckle already. Like, let Lana have something. Let her have the zapper. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome." But the other thing that we hadn't pointed out, that when Game Boy became Game Brain, he turned into like a big muscular, like Frankenstein's monster. There was even like little digital stitches on his little screen.
Oh, I didn't even notice monster. That. That's kind of genius.
Yeah.
So. That's right. Yeah. I thought that I don't know, I guess I haven't seen a whole lot of the episodes, but I thought like Metroid is pretty cool. Like they almost got some of the enemies, right? What do they call them? They call them like the Rios or something like that. But I thought they were Leos, if I remembered, like the, you know, guys that fly down from the ceiling. They looked kind of like in, what's that?
I was like, you're not wrong, because they call Dr. Light Dr. Wright in Captain M.
So. It's like the Japanese thing. Yeah, like the way it was written. Was it the L or the R? And I like that. But they had, you know, they just all looked, I mean, they fit in the world because they're so, it's such a zany world. But they give, I don't know, it's like a, I'm trying to think, was it like one of the main enemies? I can't remember all of a sudden.
Creed?
Ridley, Riley, yeah, Creed or something. Yeah, I always mess up those names, but like had like a pompadour or something like that. The hair was like super bonkers. I was like, this is kind of weird. But I mean, I kind of appreciated some of the true to video game stuff. And like you were saying before with like Burger Time, I appreciated like those two parts the most because it was like, oh, it's like really like video games. Everything else kind of weird.
There's a handful of game worlds they go into where they get it right. Metroid is one they consistently do pretty well in. Even in other episodes, like they have Metroid music in the background, they have a lot of the enemies from the game, which I didn't even remember the names. I know what you're talking about with the ones that drop from the ceiling. There's actually in an older Captain N episode, you see Kevin exploring, I think it's actually the second to last episode of season one, where Kevin's exploring the bowels of Metroid. And he looks up and all of a sudden he sees this monster coming down, and it's clearly one of those things because it's got like the little pincers in the front.
Yeah.
But then the design of it, it's got a huge nose, like a schnoz, and it chases after him. It's very strange. That's it kind of looks like that Looney Tunes caricature of that. I don't know. I don't remember the actor's name. I feel bad because you know it's a caricature. You know what I'm talking about?
Groucho. Yes.
No, is it Groucho more?
I don't know.
I know it's a caricature of a real like actor or like Holly, like an entertainment person back in the day, but I don't
know. Jimmy Durante. Really
what it is. What, sorry?
Jimmy Durante.
That's what it is. Ha-cha-cha. Jimmy Durante, that's what it is. Now I'm going to look up what his actual nose looked like. Yeah, he did have a big nose.
Yeah.
He really had a huge nose. Holy crap.
How many video game inches is it?
Yeah. How many video inches?
How many video years does it take to travel to the end of Jimmy Durante's nose? I feel like Jimmy Durante's nose would be a band name.
Well, it could be.
Right? Every song begins with that. Cha-cha-cha-cha.
Durante's nose and the boogers or something like that.
And the boogs.
Oh, yeah, my God. I remember
seeing that in the episode. It's like, it reminded me of those enemies from Kid Icarus, where they like come in, you go in the bonus rooms and they come, you know, and they look exactly like they're just like glasses and a nose basically. And
mustache. I forgot about that.
Yeah, maybe that's what they were supposed to be. I don't know.
Like they get Metroid pretty well. They get Mega Man's world is very strange. There's a lot of references, like, you know, King Hippo's from Punch Out. But they don't really reference. They've referenced Punch Out a handful of times.
His land is like a city with a bunch of like boxing posters everywhere, like and gyms.
That's
like,
pretty much it. Though that like Dudley, I do think the episode. There's an episode with a genie in it where King Hippo becomes like the ruler over all. King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard become rulers over all of Videoland. They get their wishes granted, and I think it has the best joke in the entire show so far. Where Mega Man's like, don't worry, I'm a pro at spotting booby traps or something like that. And then a phone starts ringing. So Mega Man goes to pick it up. Like it's a random like payphone in the middle of like King Hippo's world and Punch Out world. He picks it up and you hear Eggplant Wizard on the other side go, hello, booby, this is a trap. And then a fist comes out of the phone and punches him in the face. It's.
Oh, Mega Man.
That's the only time. That's the best joke in the whole show. I really think that's like legitimately I laughed out loud so hard at that moment because I was just not expecting like I was not expecting that.
Neither was he. Like,
hello, booby. This is a trap.
Now, I don't know if it was intentional on this episode or not, but something I laughed out loud at was Eggplant Wizard tries to stop them by shooting a vegetable net of green beans.
String bean net. That's what it is. String bean net.
And it ends up catching Dr. Wily and, you know, comical, like, and he's stuck in the net. But then as soon as they defeat Mother Brain and they're like, you know, like Metroid's going to explode.
Abandoned planet.
And then Dr. Wily just runs away with the net.
With the net still on him. You see, they keep the net on him too. It's not like it disappears. They keep the net on. He's just like, fuck this. And just pulls it
out. So I was like, wait, what did that net even do? Like,
mild inconvenience.
I'm claustrophobic. I'm claustrophobic. I don't understand how nets work. Oh, I can still breathe and see through this thing? Oh, okay. I'm fine. Let me get out of here now. That's kind of what it felt like. Game Boy blows up. It takes Metroid with him. They go back to the Palace of Power, and he saves the day, and that's pretty much it. Oh, they give him a hat. They give him a blue hat that he wears backwards because it's the 90s.
Pretty sure that
wear hats back.
Gotta have two'd. Pretty sure that hat never comes back, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Now, this hat that listeners can't see because I don't ever post a video. This hat is broken because my dog ate the snap part, but it's an awesome Legend of Zelda hat that he ate the snap on. The only other hat I have here with me does not fit the occasion, but I'm going to wear it anyway. It's a Merry Christmas hat.
We don't know when they're going to listen to this episode.
You know, it's going to be in July. And the back of it says ho ho. So there we go. There we go.
That's
anyway,
that's the big finale as he turns his hat backwards. He's like, yeah.
Cool, it's like what is that movie? What's that Sylvester Stallone movie? Over the Top.
Yeah.
You see Over the Top.
Yep.
That movie has one of the most insane scenes I've ever seen in my life. Because there's moments in that movie that's filmed like a mockumentary where it's the first time I've ever seen something like, I've seen mockumentary style filmmaking and shows like The Office and all that other stuff before this, but this movie came out in 82 and I've never really seen like a mockumentary style moment in like, especially in like a macho quote unquote action movie. And Sylvester Stallone standing in front of his truck and he's like, well, you know, my hat is like a switch, you know? So when I flip it, it makes me feel like, and he's standing in front of his truck and he kind of like tepidly looks back behind him. He's like, it makes me feel like, you know, tepidly looks back, knocks on the side of his truck. Look, my truck. And he has this big smirk on his face. Like he's so proud of himself that he's like, I can turn into a truck when I flip my hat like a switch.
I'm 8 years old.
That's what it feels like. I feel like 8 when I'm wearing this Christmas hat though. Because the brim, look how weird the brim of this thing looks. It's like not bent. It's like bent up top here, but then it's flat on the front. It's not, it doesn't go like most other hats do. It's very strange.
It's designed for snow.
It's
optimal for getting snow off your bill.
For shoveling snow. But that's pretty much how the episode ends. They rescue Game Boy. Game Boy rescues them after Duke rescues Game Boy. Game Boy doesn't really say anything, so you don't know if like what type of character he really is. We're going to find out, I guess, in the next episode with Queen of Apes, which is going to be episode 2 of season 2. But that's pretty much how this episode ends. So final thoughts from both of you. What are your final thoughts on the episode? Dexter, we'll start with you.
Well, I'm looking forward to more of season 2. It's definitely, it's weird because it feels different, but it also, I feel like Dorothy Middleton's done a good job as the new story editor, making it still feel the same for the most part.
She only did 3 episodes in the entire run, though.
What? And that's new story editor. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, she was written by, at least. Won't see her again until season 3.
Wow. Okay.
So she does the first episode of season 2, and then we won't see her again until season 3. The next month's episode, Queen of Apes, was written by David Ehrman and Sean Roche, or Roche. I'm not really quite sure. Well, one of the reasons for the writing switch, though, was that Saban Productions did season 1 only of the show, and then season 2, it seems to be like it was done by either, I think Deke Animation City did season 2, Saban Productions did season 1. And the distributor of it ended up being a company called Reicher Entertainment. I don't know if that's, I don't know. That's something else. It's Predator. No, well, this is a weird rabbit hole. I just literally clicked on Reicher Entertainment. Its predecessor it's now defunct. It went defunct in 99, but the predecessor of Reicher Entertainment was Bing Crosby Productions. So that means there is a straight line between Bing Crosby and Captain N the Game Master. It's 1 degree of separation. Yeah. Bing Crosby, Captain N, nothing in between. Who would have thought? But okay, yeah. So, Eric, what about you? Final thoughts for the episode?
call me corny, man. I love this game or something like that. I don't know. That's what that was like. You were talking about early on. You're like, I wonder what little sound bit I'd want to open up with. But there's that bit where you're talking about where they do the cornhole thing. There's a hole and they put the corn in it and they blow it up. He's all, call me corny, man, but I love this game or whatever. No, it's corny. It's a corny show overall, but like I really dug it. I haven't seen it for such a long time. And I really did like my main, you know, parts that I dug, of course, you know, was the Metroid bit and the Burger Time thing, just cause the, you know, actual video gamey stuff in it. But there are so many like just goofy puns and silly things. I mean, you pointed out most of the stuff that I was going to talk about. Oh, that's pretty much what I was going to say. But there was something on here. Oh yeah. Like where, Game Boy picks up the eggplant wizard and starts like shaking him or whatever. He's like, put me down. I'm an eggplant, not a squash, or just those little things. Like, I was like, man, you know, I just, it's so corny, but you gotta love it. It's just, yeah, it's classic 80s stuff, early 90s
stuff. It's dumb fun. It's just dumb. And it makes me smile. I Dexter and I talk about it every time we do an episode. The week before recording is Captain N week. And like, I watch each episode like 3 times in preparation for recording. Mainly just like one is just like just a watch through. I don't want to worry about anything. I just watch it through. Second time is my notes where I write down like a 2 or 3 pages of notes of just stuff I found funny or trying to remember what the storyline is. And then the third time is just the morning of, like, I just watch it one more time just as a refresher right before we start recording. And I look forward to it every time because it's like a time to sit down and either subject my wife or my daughter to the show and see how they react to it. Or Dexter, have you subjected your wife to this show at all?
No, I think it would play out like the scene we had that we were discussing before.
This is a failed marriage. You should be,
no, all seriousness though. No, I don't think I could do that to her. I think she would. A little behind the curtain, she took me to the physical retail limited run store yesterday as like an early Father's Day gift. So she supports my, you know, my video game stuff. Even if, you know, if you ask her what Super Mario Brothers is, she's like, it's on Nintendo 64, right? Like, that's the only Mario Brothers she thinks exists. So,
it's a good one,
but yeah, it's a good one.
It is a good
I tried,
one.
I did get out my old, CRT VCR in one thing that I had for my college dorm room to watch it on. I got that out and to watch it on the original VHS, but they were cheap. There's no commercials. There's nothing on this thing other than it. The episode starts up. It tells you not to copy it or the FBI is going to bust down your door. And that's pretty much it. But I put it on. My son was in the room. He was like, what's this? I was like, it's a cartoon that I used to watch. And then he was like, he walked away. Like, he had
no- He's like, I'm going to go do chores.
I don't care, Dad.
I'm going to do something more adult. Now,
you mentioned off mic, Dexter. I think this would be a good way to kind of close us out before we do plugs and everything. You mentioned you were considering reading off the back of the box of your VHS. What does the back of your VHS say about this episode?
All right. By the way, there's a picture of Mother Brain picking up Duke with one of her tentacles. I don't remember that happening, if that happens in this episode.
I do remember because that's when Duke is trying to rescue Game Boy. And that's when it happens. But I did notice, actually, sorry, one thing I forgot to mention. Mother Brain uses her tentacles a lot in this one to pick people up because when Dr. Wily is working on Mega Man, she is holding Dr. Wily up around his waist with her tentacles to let him hover over Mega Man and do his thing. Like Game Boy and make Game Boy evil.
That's right. You're right. She is using those more. Which, by the way, I didn't notice until I drew Mother Brain that, like, those weird things sticking out of her dome, that's where the tentacles come out of. They look like pins or, like, these weird tubes that stick out. Like, they're supposed to be, they're almost like shirt sleeves for her little tentacles to come out of.
Tentacle sleeves.
Yeah. All right, so according to this Buena Vista home video produced VHS, the description of the episode we watched is, young Captain N and his N team try to help rescue Princess Lana's father, King Charles. I was like, what is Charles? Who has been banished by mean Mother Brain to the dark world of Metroid.
That old meanie.
That's not true. He wasn't banished to Metroid. He thought he was still in the mirror world. But but complications occur when a well-meaning Game Boy computer tries to help but messes up, in quotes, instead.
I want to know at any point, how did Game Boy try to help until the end? At any point, what was helping by trying to shoot a missile, like bring a plane into existence? Don't know what world did he travel to? I don't freaking know. Top Gun? Who knows?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Yeah,
topical gun. that was a bad pun too. but like, it, I don't know. This episode's wild. I loved it. Watch it. Listeners, if we have not convinced you listeners to go watch an episode of Captain N yet, you're really missing out. It's all for free on YouTube. It costs you nothing except some annoying commercials that you have to click through every about 4 minutes.
And they're not quite timed with the commercial breaks, which is kind of unfortunate because it's like right before I'm like, oh, a commercial break's coming. So like you get skipped through the ad and then it's like, no, 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 fades out. Comes back. It's like, oh, it was like, you know, you probably could have timed it better, but yeah. Let's think about that though with the Game Boy thing though. Like, you know, was he trying to save us from something? He was trying to kill Kid Icarus. He's like, this guy's annoying. Did he do something to Mega Man? He's just trying to make our lives easier, is what it is.
Maybe he's from the future and he just wants to take out Kid Icarus because he knows he's going to turn evil or something.
Yeah.
You know? Because he's too, and I quote, Kid Icarus hates that he's too small a kiss.
A kiss, yeah. Of course, a kiss, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying Captain N for Smash.
That'd be great. That's a great call. I've never heard of that. Yeah.
That would be, I mean, who owns the
character designs for the different skins? I mean, they've already got Mega Man. They've got Simon now. They've got Pit. You just change their skins.
I wonder who owns the IP to it. Like, Wildbrain is the company that has all of the videos up on YouTube, so I guess they own the copyright to it. And I don't know if Nintendo would be willing to work with it. It'd be kind of awesome. I would love if they could take the like make a DLC for like one of the Metroid games and put Levi Stubbs's voice in over top of it as like a DLC. Mother Brain. Just like find a way, use an AI to like take his speech patterns and make it so he can say stuff as Mother Brain in a Metroid game as like a $2 DLC or something like that.
Isn't that what they're doing with Star Wars? They did that with Luke. They've done that with Darth Vader recently. They've got the AI voices.
It's a little creepy they can do that in all honesty. Totally. A little terrifying.
As accurately as they do.
Yeah, it's nuts. But all right, that will wrap it up for this episode of Still Loading Podcast for Captain N Season 2, Episode 1. Thank you all for listening. Dexter, Eric, thank you so much for joining me. Let's get some plugs out there. Is there anything that you all would like to plug? Dexter, we'll start with you.
Yeah, mine's always straightforward. Mine's just my Instagram and my Twitter. It's just my name, DexterMorrill. You'll find me on there sharing my artwork. I also teach art, so I like to share my student stuff every now and again as well. I'm always talking about video game stuff like this. And also, before Eric does his thing, I would like to thank him for coming on as well. He and I worked together back when RetroWare TV was a website, if any listeners out there remember RetroWare. I think they're under new ownership and they're having a comeback later this year. But
Yes, ScreenWave Media owns them now.
Yes, that's it. I've always enjoyed Eric's Let's Get show, so you can check that out on YouTube as well. And I know you do some awesome music stuff too.
Topics you're taking as plugs?
No, go for it. Thank you. I got nothing. I was just gonna be like, I don't do nothing no more.
But no, seriously, Eric, thank you so much for joining us. I last and certainly not least, is there anything you would like to plug though? I know your YouTube channel you haven't been doing much with recently, but is there anything else you'd like to plug? Anything you want to shout out? Any social media?
Oh, no, not really. No, I'm pretty much like a recluse on the social media. And I actually was thinking about coming back to YouTube this year. And then I was like, oh, no, I got too much stuff to do. So studying Japanese and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, my show's out there. It's GEMON047. Like, that's the easiest way to find me on YouTube. Let's Get is just a terrible name because it shows up under anything like Let's Get Physical or anything else. I was like, I was not thinking ahead of time. So there's that. And yeah, I guess I did have some music on Bandcamp under terrible name Plasta and Skizzle. Yeah.
Plasta.
SKIZZLE. But Plasta is how it sounds like, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, I've not been doing much there either. I make music. I just don't put it up anymore. So maybe someday I'll come back, you know? I don't want to say I'm gone. I'm just taking like a long ass break.
If you like doing it, you come back, you find time to do it. If not, like, also, like, especially with the way the internet is now, I never begrudge any content creator or creative person to be like, fuck this. I don't want to deal with this anymore.
Totally.
It's a mess out there. But as usual for me, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to email me, you can email me stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, you can give it a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use. That helps more people find the show. If you want to support it monetarily, you can go to patreon.com/stillloadingpod. For $1 a month, you'll get the episodes a few days early at a higher bitrate, as well as access to a patron exclusive Discord. For $5 a month, you'll get all of that plus 2 bonus episodes a month. I think at the time of this, this isn't going to be out until early July, so there's going to be at least one more bonus episode coming out before then. But at the time of this, my most recent bonus episode was I talked about my experience as being a first-time panelist at Thy Geekdom Con earlier this year, which was fun. And the episode before that, I talked about why I hate NFTs so much. So that was fun too. And that's all. The most important shout out. I can't believe I almost forgot the most important shout out. The Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of kids receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So if you want to support them, go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And that will do it. Thank you all so much for listening. Dexter, Eric, seriously, thank you all. I love doing this series with you. Eric, it was nice to meet you. I'm happy
nice
that
you
on the show. Hope to have you back on, even if it's not Captain N. If you ever just want to bullshit about games, I'd love to have you on. Dexter, my co-host with the Mo host, thank you once again.
Yes, I'll think of you the next time I play video games.
That's for those who don't remember, that is our sign off now. So thank you all for listening. I will think of you all the next time I play video games.